This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Biddy Podcast for Tuesday, September 23rd. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, engineer guy Bill Hammack, part two of his series on water, will go through a well field near Bonneville. We'll also look at your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The General Assembly's return to the Capitol yesterday gave an opportunity for those upset with budget cuts to voice their concerns. Sean Crawford has more.
Social service advocates flooded the Capitol Rotunda to let lawmakers know their voices count. Amy Walker of Decatur says the developmentally disabled rely on state programs that are being hit hard by the cuts.
To me, it seems like the governor doesn't care about us if we have disabilities. And we want to tell him that if he doesn't care, then who will?
Lawmakers are under pressure to help social services prevent layoffs in other areas and head off the closure of about a dozen state parks. The House and Senate are negotiating a way to restore money to the budget. Despite disagreement on what should be included and the price tag, most expect a vote could occur today. The money would come from sweeping funds from dedicated accounts. I'm Sean Crawford.
The reputation that Illinois government is for sale stems from the common practice of politicians rewarding contributors with lucrative state contracts. Starting next year, Illinois will ban large campaign contributions from state contractors. The General Assembly months ago unanimously approved a measure that forbids businesses with a state contract over $50,000 from giving money to the office holder's campaign who doles out the work. But when it got to his desk, Governor Rob Blagojevich made major changes. Yesterday, the Illinois Senate followed the House's lead in rejecting those changes. That means the campaign finance limits will become law. State Senator Christine Redonio of Lamont says after having worked on the issue for years, she never thought it would happen. But she says Illinois still has more to do on ethics.
I think it's really important that even though we're doing this today, we not lose sight of the fact that while this is an important step, it is a small step and it is a first step. And what I really hope doesn't happen is that we don't see another 3 years of pointing back and forth across the rotunda before we make another teeny tiny baby step.
Just hours after the pay-to-play restrictions were approved, a Senate committee advanced more wide-ranging reforms the governor had proposed. But those who've pushed for campaign finance changes say more work is needed on the package, and they're urging lawmakers to move slowly. A bill that would require insurance companies to pay for more treatment for children with autism continues to be kicked around as a political football in Springfield. The legislation would require insurance companies to cover up to $36,000 a year for autistic youth. Pete DeCiani is a parent of an autistic child. He's lobbied for the legislation. DeCiani says the bill stalled because of tensions between Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich and House Speaker Michael Madigan.
I would hope Speaker Madigan would be behind us too. I'd hope that I could hold their hands together and say this is what policy and legislation is about. It's about helping people. It's not about this other crap you're talking about. It's about families.
Yesterday, the House decided not to release the legislation from committee. A spokesperson for House Speaker Mike Madigan says the chamber has support from some versions of the bill in the past. The Senate is expected to look at the measure today. Governor Rob Blagojevich says he didn't know $65,000 in campaign contributions from a former administration official who's pleaded guilty to felony charges hadn't been returned. Aliata pleaded guilty this year to lying to a federal agent and evading federal income taxes. He then testified for the state against political fundraiser Tony Rezko. Blagojevich campaign spokesman Doug Schofield tells the Chicago Sun-Times he's not aware the Aliata money has been dumped. The governor says he'd look into the matter. He says he'd also consider legislation requiring elected officials to return money contributed from similar sources. The governor has denied accusations by Atta that he discussed a state job with him after Atta made large campaign contributions. A University of Illinois economist says only time will tell how well a $700 billion mortgage bailout plan will impact the nation's financial picture. But Fred Gertz says the Federal Reserve's action would appear to have at least stabilized markets temporarily, and that the normally independent Fed had little choice but to push this plan on Congress. Gertz says it's hard for anyone outside the situation to understand why certain financial firms are getting help, but adds we have to have faith in people like Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson.
Why do they bail out AIG and not bail out Lehman Brothers? Well, I have no idea except to assume that they thought that Lehman Brothers was not going to cause a broader sort of collapse, while they thought AIG might. So we're trying to make judgments about situations we don't really have full information, and there has to be sort of a degree of trust in the people making the decisions.
Gerd says one problem that could come from the bailout is the moral hazard of people being less careful with their investments and assuming that the government will bail them out of any bad debt in the future. He also predicts there will be more regulation of the financial sector in the years ahead. Gertz says there's a 50-50 chance that the nation will experience a brief financial recession in the near future. He says the Fed is pursuing the bailout to avoid the pre-Great Depression-type atmosphere the country went through in 1929. The city of Urbana has been making its financial documents easier to look up on its website, but the mayor has blocked a resolution requiring the practice. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Comptroller Ron Eldridge began posting more financial documents on the Urbana City website over the summer at the urging of Champaign County Libertarian Party Chair Diana Vesic. He promised to send the City Council a proposed resolution codifying the practice in a matter of weeks. But no resolution has made its way to the Council because Mayor Laurel Prussing says it isn't needed.
We put this stuff on the Internet, and I don't think we have to pass a resolution or an ordinance, certainly, because this is just public information, and you've made a request, we've complied with your request.
But Vesic told the City Council last night Urbana needs the resolution to make sure city financial documents continue to be available online under future city governments.
It just puts the good housekeeping seal of approval on this process and says, hey, it's not just an internal procedure. We take it so seriously that we're actually making a resolution for it.
Prussing says a future mayor and council could find a way to change the ordinance if they wanted to, and she questions how many people are actually going to the Urbana City website to examine the documents. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
An advisory referendum asking for the posting of financial documents online will be on the ballot this November in Champaign. Next year, the penny will be getting not just one new look, but four of them. The first changes to the 1 cent coin in 50 years. The U.S. Mint unveiled the new designs during a ceremony yesterday at the Lincoln Memorial. The coin changes are part of the government's commemoration next year of the 200th anniversary of Lincoln's birth. Lincoln's profile will remain on one side of the coin, but the Lincoln Memorial will be replaced on the other side by the new images, with a different one being introduced every 3 months. The first new design will depict a log cabin. The second will feature a young Lincoln reading a book while working as a rail splitter in Indiana. The third will show Lincoln as a young lawyer standing in front of the old state capitol building in Springfield. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. All this week, we're taking a look at East Central Illinois' water supply. Today, Bill Hammack treks through the new Illinois American well field near Bonneville in Champaign County and asks whether these wells will suck dry the Mahomet Aquifer. To get a closer look at the situation, he pays a visit to a house right near where the well field is supposed to be drilled.
Hi, how are you?
You want to sit on the porch here?
Sure.
Norm Stenzel and his family live in an earth-covered house on the edge of a cornfield next to a pond stocked with bluegills. Like everyone who lives in the country, this seemingly idyllic life depends on a well.
Our lifeline as far as survival out in the country, we use that for all of our home needs. We use that for the cattle and for the chickens.
That well, which draws from the Mahomet Aquifer, might be under threat.
Straight south, there's a well for Illinois American Water on the road a mile south of us. A mile south of that is the Illinois American Water treatment plant. A mile south and a mile west is another well that in the well field. A mile east of us, actually 2 miles east of us, is the Andersons. And if the Andersons put up their ethanol plant, they'll have a well of their own.
Stenzel's property sits smack dab in the middle of the Illinois American Water Company's new well field near Bonneville, wells that supply Champaign-Urbana with millions of gallons a day. Only a stone's throw away sits the Anderson's grain elevator, which someday might house a water-hungry ethanol plant.
If both both Illinois American and Anderson's are pumping out of that, I may be affected by both those cones of depression.
While Stenzel should worry about his well, it isn't because the aquifer will run out of water. David Larson tells me that it's huge, and he ought to know. He's head of the hydrology section of the Illinois State Geological Survey.
And I think that's the thing that most people don't understand, is that this thing is huge. But the thickness varies from something like 70 to 150 feet thick, and the width varies from less than a mile to several miles. And it goes from the Indiana state line all the way over to the Illinois River. It's a huge amount of water.
The aquifer holds trillions of gallons. Yet if it won't run dry, why should Norm Stenzel be worried about his well?
If there is uncontrolled development that goes in with a lot of wells being concentrated in a small area, that certainly would have a different impact on the aquifer than if that development were spread out over a larger part of the aquifer.
In Larson's word concentrated lies the key to evaluating the demands placed on our water supply. The Mahomet Aquifer isn't an underground river that flows freely, but slowly moving water nested in pores. This in turn affects the functioning of a well field. Think of it this way. You're at a beach and you step back a few feet from the surf. In the dry sand you dig a hole. Eventually, of course, you'll strike water. If someone were to build a similar well too close to yours, it would lower the water level in your well. Yet if someone a mile down the beach dug a hole, it wouldn't affect you at all. So the closer the wells, the more interference. Al Weirman of the Water Survey says that human actions can often change the flow of water in an aquifer.
Water that used to just flow down the valley, we're also now pulling water back from Piatt County. So we've actually reversed the flow in a portion of the aquifer.
While this might sound ominous, all wells modify the flow underneath to a degree. Geologist Larson says we need to keep the following in mind.
It's a very good water supply, and that if it's managed correctly, it will sustain us for many years to come.
But what does David Larson mean by managing correctly? Tomorrow, I look at how we should responsibly use the water in the Mahomet Aquifer, including the impact of high-water-use ethanol plants. For AM 580 News, I'm Bill Hammack.
Bill Hammack is a chemical engineering professor at the U of I. You can hear the entire series on our water supply and more of his observations on engineering and life at his website, engineerguy.com. In the forecast, sunny skies today, the high 84, clear skies this evening, the low 58, mostly sunny tomorrow with a high of 85. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow night, there's a chance of a passing shower, the low 59. Thursday, mostly sunny, the high 82. Mostly clear Thursday evening, the low 56. Sunny skies Friday with a high of 85 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, September 23rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.